Draft number 40 of the best ball draft season for me today. And one exciting revelation over the weekend. I'm back in love with this guy, Caleb Williams. And we got the inkling last week. Of course, me talk about bear stacks. But in particular, I'm really back in on my guy, Caleb Williams, after a very disappointing year at USC. Let's talk about it. Of course, I am already in a draft room here. Underdogs big board draft, 200K to first place. Nobody else in the world is streaming this draft right now. It's only me, as far as I'm aware of. Don't tell me otherwise, but no. Lots of great people drafting teams right now on YouTube right now. So I appreciate you guys watching this one. And I will talk about Caleb Williams a lot today because I watched a lot of different video about Caleb Williams, not just the highlights, not just the game film, of course, stuff that I've looked at in the past that's helped me feel better about Caleb after, frankly, again, a really disappointing USC year where I've realized I'm very critical about USC guys. Jordan Addison was the same thing as well, where I kind of fell out of love with him. He ends up having a perfectly fine rookie year for Minnesota. For Caleb Williams, I think he's in a very good situation. And a lot of the things I saw this weekend made me feel really good about it. Let's make our pick here on the clock at number four. And it does seem like we will have a shot at Ja'Marr Chase. Justin Jefferson has been a guy that I like a little bit more. Could also do some running back stuff today and go Bijan. And frankly, I have not gotten a lot of shares of Bijan. So let's do it. Let's have some fun. Let's play Atlanta here. Maybe Chicago plays Atlanta in week 17. Who knows? But Bijan, pick four for me here, first off the board. And of course, I'm in fact this right here. Oh, wait, no, I'm not this. I guess I am. I'm pretty excited to get Bijan. I'm this, though. I'm a running back piggy. I'm a piggy taking a running back bright and early on. As I've talked about, a little bit different for me in 2024 than it's been in previous years, where, yeah, you know what? I'm not crazy about taking Saquon in the first round. I'm not crazy about taking Derrick Henry in the first round of previous years. Like, those kind of guys, not for me. This year, high draft capital, young running backs, a lot of juice. Guys who looked really good in advanced analytics that I looked at last year. Of course, the stuff that I swear by, the EPA analytics in particular. So these guys, to me, happy to get a Bijan Robinson. And for me, I have to get exposure somewhere. So the ADP is what it is. He really did soar past Breece Hall, though, in this free agency period. So you got to be comfortable taking Bijan now at pick four, pick five, because you're not going to get him later for the most part in most rooms. Just the chat. Big weekend for USC recruiting. Yeah, flipping guys. Was it from Georgia that we flipped them? But yes, we did get a nice defensive recruit there. Look, same thing for me as it is in college, as it is for the NFL. I don't really care about defensive recruits for the most part. But USC's defense was so bad that anything there as an addition definitely going to be a positive. Are we getting the full splash play experience today? I don't know what that means. Me drafting a team and talking about Caleb Williams positively? I guess that's it. So for Caleb, what sold me this week the most? One thing, which I think is frankly worth watching the entire video. It's about a half hour video. QB Room is the channel, I believe, with Jordan Palmer and Kyle Allen, who I think is still in the Bills depth chart. If not, you know, he's there recently enough. Those guys breaking down Caleb Williams, I thought was a really interesting watch. In particular, some of the things here that, you know, allow me to do the mental gymnastics to, again, fully embrace Caleb Williams, the good stuff, the Mahomes-y looking stuff, the rushing, really, in particular, as I've mentioned many times here on stream, Caleb a lot better rusher than people realize, a guy who really can dominate in an RPO kind of offense. For Caleb, though, you know, the biggest flaw that they pointed out that both Jordan Palmer and also Kyle Allen pointed out in this video over and over again is there is kind of a hero ball thing with Caleb Williams in particular that I personally would rather see more of than less. Obviously, for a pro QB, though, as they made the point many times, and I think it's the fairest critique, is that he doesn't take easy throws. He doesn't take the guy running a hitch route that's 5 yards downfield. He's looking downfield. He's keeping his eyes downfield over and over again, which is the main thing that I've seen over on all of the videos, really, you watch of him. Caleb keeping his eyes downfield, trying to look for the big plays. That's what I want to see from a QB who also runs, who also attacks downfield at a high rate. But, you know, the not taking the easy passes thing, it is going to be tough for him in the NFL. But I think that's something you can coach in. I think when you have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen out there, you know, and frankly, Cole Kmet too, a guy's been a pretty good underneath vessel. Gerald Everett, if you want to give him some plaudits too. DeAndre Swift out of the backfield. He's got enough guys there to make it easy for him to find and take that easy kind of short little check down, short little gain that's really where it makes a QB successful over the course of his entire portfolio. So for Caleb, I think seeing the cosign on the deep balls, on the pocket management, and also things, too, that he's not going to be able to replicate. Like, there's some of the plays he made against Notre Dame in particular where he's climbing in the pocket. He's evading four guys in the backfield. You're not going to do that in the pros, but for Caleb, I just really think the more that I spend time this, the more that I remove my own personal USC bias from disappointing me by not giving us a college football playoff run. I am firmly very much in love with Caleb Williams again. I think I still prefer Jaden Daniels for fantasy, but Caleb to me, in terms of being a pro real life good QB and also a good fantasy QB, I think you're going to get Stroud level production from him. And with that in mind, we're taking DJ Moore as our first receiver here. So team so far, Bijan and DJ Moore. There we go. It'll be a dog. Eventually we'll get him back. Oh, okay, great. You can have him when he's been all used up by USC, but sure. A lot of people draft this morning, but I mess with the squirters and the tiltness. Look, I'm trying not to tilt now, so I know that's not... I've been seeing a lot of tweets of people, I guess, re-watching that the previous stream, of course, where I cleaned house on some of our less preferred drafters, though I guess Michael Thomas here still paying his penance now as a member of the Squirt Squad, a paying member of the Squirt Squad. But yeah, in general, you know, look, I'm happy to represent the process, honestly. And for this room right now, I'm happy with the team I'm building. Obviously, if that changes, you guys will be the first to know because I don't hide it very well. I don't blame Caleb for what happened this year. It's a little bit on him too. I mean, I think he was hero balling a little bit too much. As I've mentioned, you know, the catchable ball rate for him, the on target rate being down. Two things that I don't love to see, but I think he's playing a little bit loose. The pressure stats as well, negative 0.7 EPA for a guy who, again, is very elusive in there and still is overall, you know, a positive EPA per dropback QB. Caleb shouldn't be that bad under pressure. So I think there's things that he did that were not great this year, but I am willing to move past them because I think it really does when you have a team rooting interest, and USC is really the only team I root for besides my own ones that are related to money in best ball and DFS. USC is the only team I really care about at this point. So like for me, I do have a tendency where guys who played well at USC and you know, they're coming in with high draft capital, I get a little more excited about them. Guys that I felt like disappointed, and it's happened now for me two straight years, Addison and Caleb. So I'm trying to not make the mistake with Caleb now, because I like Jaden Daniels. I think he's a more fun QB that represents what I like. For an NFL QB, though, like Caleb is going to bring a lot of great things to the table from day one. We are on the clock here. Man, nice pocket. We could take a slightly discounted Rashee Rice, though. Again, I think he keeps going down. Tank Dell, I'd be happy to get here, get another share of a fun, exciting offense. Malik Nabers could go to the Giants. I feel like is the one thing you see happening a lot in mock drafts that worries you. I am going to go Tank Dell here. I would value Tank, I believe, over Rashee Rice pretty reliably. Five pick ADP discount, though, but whatever. It's round three. We'll take Tank Dell. And again, shares of offenses that I like a lot is really the main thing for me here, where Atlanta, we expect that big improvement, even though it is a chalk expectation of Atlanta taking a leap upwards with Kirk Cousins at QB, with Drake London getting more involved, all that. Pitts as well, obviously, Bijan as well. Just being a more functional offense, I'm in on that. But, you know, Atlanta, I think, still a team that even if it is a chalk outcome, much like Detroit last year, that this offense is going to take a leap. I still want my shares. I still want to be there. Chicago, DJ Moore has been coming down. I am happy to take him on the way down now. I do think, again, he's still a very solid pick because of my belief in Caleb Williams, because of really the signal as well of what Chicago is doing, bringing in guys that are going to make it easier on Caleb Williams. They've also added a few linemen. Like, they're doing things that are going to make this team work better from day one. And to me, getting a share of him is good. And obviously Houston, you know, we all know one of the most fun offenses out there to get a share of. So happy to do that too. Travis Kelce goes to pick 35 here. You don't see that very often in our stream rooms. I don't know KDC here in the 11 hole, but Kelce at 35 feels like a thing I think you're going to see more as we get into the later periods of drafts. And this guy, too, reaches for Kelce to also reach for Mahomes. I don't think that's a good move in a big board right now where we already do have, you know, about over 60% of the draft that's gone. And you have seen at times Mahomes fall to the 50s, fall to the 60s. Travis Kelce falls or was actually regularly going in the 40s and 50s for a while. So to me, I think that reaching for Kelce and Mahomes may be more unique doing it in the 11 hole, but probably not a good move relative to an entire draft. Like talking to fans of college teams to see how they feel about their players. Lots of FSU fans I know are not sold on Keon and Benson. I feel like I've only heard the opposite, in particular for Keon. Just people really excited to see Keon be a pro. And I think people too, as I mentioned, the analytics were not there for Keon or Trey Benson. Benson, though, had the amazing athletic profile. Keon Coleman, the exact opposite, where you couldn't look more like Kelvin Benjamin if you tried. So that's not great for him. But I feel like I've seen FSU fans, you know, do the whole thing of, oh, we were undefeated, we would have won it all. And I don't know. But it could be different pockets of fandom for sure. Just tuning in, surprised took DJ there, given the comments last week about him belonging in the 30s. Hope Miami treats him well. It's really that I think he's going to come down to the 30s, but at this range, I still prefer him. And I also thought, too, I might be able to get Keenan Allen at pick 40 here. Obviously, it didn't happen here. Keenan Allen goes 39. But I'm trying to make the bet on Chicago pretty often right now because, to me, I think the enthusiasm for Chicago is going to come up, even though Moore should probably just come down naturally. But he's not the 1-2 turn anymore, so I think we've kind of gotten the discount already. I'm in the big board. So we have a 0-1-2-0 here. Not the most exciting pocket for players right now. Ugh, Actually, don't. I actively do not like this pocket. Cooper is okay. Could take the discounted Jalen Hurts. Honestly, I guess I'm just going to take the discounted Jalen Hurts. This is now 10 picks after ADP. I have no correlation with him, so I don't like doing that. But I think in terms of the talent on this team, I do like more the bet on Chicago. Do like Tank. Any bet on Houston, I'm happy to take at this point. Still assuming, though, that you know when we do see the draft go on, if not, maybe later in free agency, somebody's going to go to Houston who's going to be an outside receiver. Still could be a T. Higgins type, but at this point, a Troy Franklin type would upset things. An Adonai Mitchell would upset things enough. But still, at this point in the draft, happy to get Tank. And any shares of Houston still, I'm happy to take. Yuka. Okay, thank you, Tanner. Great contribution. And Miami meeting stuff is going. So no show tomorrow, it looks like. I think maybe a show on Wednesday. If not, though, I will make up the streams that I'm missing here. So I'll probably do then a triple stream on Thursday or something. But yeah, traveling to Miami in the morning tomorrow. So I won't actually I'll be on the plane during the usual splash play time. And then Wednesday, I'll be in a hotel and I'm not sure how exhausted I'm going to be and how, frankly, the Wi-Fi. And I don't have like travel equipment to stream on the road. So something I have to figure out that we're going to probably skip on Wednesday, too. But stay tuned here. Of course, normally drafts every Monday to Friday here on Splash Play at 11 a.m. So subscribe down below, hit the like button. But yeah, going to be a little bit less reliable this week because we are going to Miami to try to raise money for Probably. And let's pray. Let's pray I come back with good news. All right, Trey McBride. Again, I was willing to take Amari Cooper at that last pick, so I don't mind taking Cooper here. Zay Flowers would have made more sense if I took Lamar over Hurts, but we did take the big Hurts discount. I'll take Amari Cooper here. Don't really know what we're playing for at this point with an unstacked Hurts. Not much divisional correlation for week 17, but doesn't matter. Decent discount on Amari here, who's normally going at a 47.8 ADP. So my team so far, Jalen Hurts, Bijan Robinson, DJ Moore, Tank Dell, Amari Cooper. I like the team, even though scooping value maybe doesn't make the most logical stacking and correlation, but it's okay. We'll survive. Loving my team. Thank you. Shout out our guy Nolan here. Nolan drafting in the 7-hole here. You can see his team zero RB heavy with Travis Etienne. Travis Etienne, I feel like a guy. I don't think I have a single share of Travis Etienne this season so far. I've always been down on Etienne, but in particular, again, I feel like you're getting the signal really early. But obviously for a team like Nolan's here, just taking our RB, your choices were Etienne, Derrick Henry, and Cook. I honestly wouldn't mind Henry. Henry at 46 is very cheap. And as we talked about too, we've seen Henry in some of the rooms that we've done on stream lately go in the top 20. Huge mistake to take Derrick Henry in the top 20 when you're seeing him again, still at 46 here, accounting where this Ravens news couldn't be more public now. He's still going to 46 in a room. Hurts a solid standalone, could target tight end if he falls at value. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's what I think the safe out is. Could also do something weird and take Devontae Parker. Who else did they added somebody else in that Philadelphia room that I'm now forgetting. Eagles, somebody in chat's probably going to tell me before I get there. They added Parker and Paris Campbell. That's it. Paris Campbell. Ugh. Yeah, very exciting to see Paris Campbell going to another NFC East team to take a few targets away that he probably shouldn't. All right. Oh, why did the board shrink like this? Hold on. There we go. All right. Yeah, that's a good size board. That's a board you bring home to mama. Yep, Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell, new Eagle, who again, he probably scores, two touchdowns this year? Does nothing useful. Yeah, this will be the breakout year. I mean, look, honestly, Paris Campbell, the worst out for people that, like me, are not going to draft Paris Campbell is that you get Devontae Smith hurt early, and then Paris Campbell plays the Devontae Smith role, and then this offense ends up being a little bit more 1A, 1B again, as opposed to A.J. Brown just being the number one, and everybody else coming second, third, fourth. So there is an out for Paris Campbell, but I do think it is more as a contingent value than anything. It's weird. Look at it's showing like colors by my username. I don't know if you guys can see this on screen. I guess it just makes me look cooler. Really highlighting my name here on the underdog board. Next pick coming up for us here. So we'll see. Because we took Jalen Hurts, I did not get CJ Stroud as well, which kind of sucks if you're making that bet on Tank Dell. But obviously we made a pick and we're happy with it. All right. Jordan Addison. I don't think a pick for this team could maybe target some week 17 potential correlation with DJ Moore. Kyle Pitts, I'm low on Atlanta guys overall. We didn't get Drake London with his soaring ADPs, but we will get Kyle Pitts here. So we're doing an Atlanta stack, or I guess parts of an Atlanta stack, without Kirk, without Drake London. I think for the week 17 logic of it, this makes sense to have Hurts going against Kirk Cousins, to have these receivers going against Drake London, and you're trying to target an outlier day from Bijan or Kyle Pitts in week 17. So I think the game theory of this one for, you know, if Atlanta were a team that's going to carry teams in the playoffs for the big board, I think that would be a logical approach. So that's how I'm going to justify it in my head. Let's see. Who's the guy you wish you had more of since free agency? I mean, for me, it would just be scooping the old running backs a little bit more. Like, I should have taken Mixon in the 80s. It's just hard for me because I'm always going to assume the worst possible outcome for those guys when, you know, the NFL, a lot of times there ends up being a good outcome. But it ended up being beneficial to me last year, where like I didn't waste a lot of money on the Fournettes. In particular, Fournette would be the worst one. But Hunt and Zeke, I guess, had some spike days. So maybe even then, I might need to adjust my brain a little bit more in general, which you guys can remind me of next year. With just vet running backs, like I feel like vet running back uncertainty, I personally have feared just the full collapse. And maybe if it were a better draft class this year at running back, that would have happened. But instead, we saw kind of the market correct a little bit more. Everybody got signed faster. So the Mixons, the Henrys, those guys, Aaron Jones to a lesser extent, those guys I feel like I should have just taken when they are cheaper. Marquise Brown too, but I'm just not a Marquise Brown guy. But knowing what would have happened if he went to KC and got the nut run out, which he did get, I probably should have taken a little bit more of Marquise Brown. All right, 1-1-3-1 here. Could really jam hard on tight end and feel pretty good about it. I've been taking a lot of Christian Watson lately. I don't mind doing that again here. Do I want to take Christian Watson? Because a Kyle Pitts, Brock Bowers tight end room, because I think I could still salvage at wide receiver, right? I just got to hit my pockets well for that. Christian Watson still has the most upside at this point, because wide receiver is going to get really bad here. It's Dobbs, it's Jamison Williams. That was like a tier break at wide receiver. So I had to do that. Team so far, Jalen Hurts, Bijan Robinson, DJ Moore, Tank Dell, Amari Cooper, Christian Watson, and Kyle Pitts. I like this team a lot. Could have gone Bowers there, but do I need Bowers? I probably needed Watson more as a wide receiver four than I do need Bowers at tight end two. So we're okay with that bet. Pacheco at 59 is nice. Yeah, Pacheco at 59. I mean, remember, he was going in the 20s earlier in the draft. So, and really nothing has changed for that situation too much for him. I guess just calmer, cooler heads prevailing. Who knows? Where did Jacobs go in this draft? Jay losing his membership. Hate to see that. He went at pick 37 here. So went at the 3-4 turn. May have had 27% Fournette last year. So yeah, that's the no side of that one. I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it that you miss out on some of the discounts. I guess, honestly, though, the difference between a Zeke, a Hunt, a Fournette last year, and the Henry, Mixon, whatever happened, you know, those guys you want to put in that tier this year, Jacobs as well. Like, those guys went early. Like, we figured it out early. In BBM, people were still drafting Fournette, still drafting Zeke, still drafting Hunt into August, you know, first week of September even. So I'd say for those guys, I guess that'd be the big difference is, like, you know, we know where Mixon is now. We know where Henry is. Like, you still have the risk of poor performance, age, all that stuff. For like a Hunt, for a Zeke, all those guys, you just didn't know that they were going to get signed anywhere. And for Fournette's case, he was never on an active roster, I think. Or he was on the active roster for like 1 or 2 weeks, but I don't think got more than 2 points in a game. Yeah, nut landing spot. I mean, same thing for Damian Harris. Damian Harris, though, really bad run out for Damian Harris, where he had that concussion at a time period where maybe he could have worked his way back in. Said Latavius Murray gets the work, and then when they fire Ken Dorsey, bring in Joe Brady, they end up going heavy on James Cook. And still, you know, mixed in like Ty Johnson and Latavius Murray. For Buffalo, I think there was still a shot that Harris could hit. So I would say that was the worst possible outcome for a guy who got a nut landing spot. But, Fournette, not far off. People definitely, you know, in playoff baseball drafts, were going nuts on Fournette too. And obviously that was not a great play in any level. Christian Watson season with the nude egg. Yes, of course. Though I know Christian Watson, I'm hoping we're not a nude egg this year. I'm hoping we're getting, I guess you're getting the butthole. That's a positive for Christian Watson at this point. Christian Watson having a healthy butthole at all, I think would be a win for him. We got the next pick coming up here. What is going to be on this board? Seems like it'd be a good time to take receiver. or take running back rather. I think we're okay at receiver for right now. Jordan Love kind of tempting with the Christian Watson bet, but probably not a need, I would say. Could also make a bet on Cleveland here and just really leave Jalen Hurts by himself and take Njoku here as tight end too. Man, there's a lot of things that can be done here. Running back, good pocket as well. Could continue to make a bet on Chicago, which I like. Man, I have this chat up here. I'm very distracted. This is a tough choice. Love is a nice value here. He would really solidify this team. Njoku closes off position. I am going to make another bet on Chicago, though. I am going to take Swift again here. 1-2-4-1. Njoku was very tempting to me here. I think more tempting than Love, despite the ADP discount. The team so far, Jalen Hurts, which is why I didn't take Jordan Love. Jalen Hurts, Bijan Robinson, DeAndre Swift, former Eagles teammates reuniting here in the fantasy world of my team. DJ Moore, Tank Dell, Amari Cooper, Christian Watson, a wide receiver, and a tight end, Kyle Pitts. I like the team. Do you think that there are some other things I could do that might have been also equally viable, including Jordan Love, who goes one pick after me, to a guy who already has Josh Allen and no correlation. Has EPA always been my go-to stat to help with your draft process? What has helped you find success in past years' best ball drafts? I mean, it's the structure more than anything. The being tied to news, being really aware of news, reading every article, especially in July and August, has always been like the biggest things for me. Obviously, being zero RB heavy, another thing. EPA is just, I think, a very important metric. I used to use DVOA after being at Football Outsiders and learning about DVOA more. I grew to value EPA more and started to change that process, even though I was still talking about DVOA while I was still there, because you got to promote the company you work for. But EPA metrics, I think, show you the best situation overall. I think there's a little bit less skewing overall because of the fact that there is a historical thing tied in like there is for a DVOA. But I could keep talking about that. Let me make a pick here. 1-2-4-1 here. Getting a little bit thin at receiver. It's going to be a long time before we pick again. I'm just too tempted by correlating Cleveland without Deshaun Watson. I think if I'm going into week 17 with Amari Cooper and David Njoku, and I can roll Jalen Hurts against Deshaun Watson, I feel pretty good about that shot. So I'm willing to do that. Njoku made it back. So I felt like I kind of had to take him. I let him go. I set him free and he loved me enough to come back. So we go with David Njoku. Heike didn't know the Nude Egg did that. Oh, so Bindle's not actually an I think you should leave watcher. But yes, it's okay to have a little bit of porn at work is the key takeaway there. And in this case, the porn is an egg's butthole. Unstacked Love and a team with three wide receivers. Yeah, that's not a great pick by Javi Chavi. I get soaking up the value, and he did it twice. But at a certain point, you need to correlate. Though he does have digs with Allen, so he's got that going for him. And if for EPA stuff, though, in general, like, so EPA basically, like, it reflects every historical situation to show you, like, you know, if you have the ball, you get a first down to the 30-yard line, and that's because of wide receiver X. That basically means that, you know, in the past, every time the ball's been on the 30-yard line, a team, let's say that's worth 4.5 points to a team because they score a touchdown X amount, they kick a field goal Y amount of the time, and the rest of the time, they're turning the ball over on downs. So I think for that, you know, that's a little bit more helpful. Whereas for DVOA, for DYAR, the other stat that's part of FTN, and frankly, I'll also just never support FTN. I don't think they're a good company. So that's another part of it too. Like DVOA just gets weighted a lot with other things that I think become a little bit personal as well. Aaron Schatz, to his credit, very smart analytics guy, but also, you know, manages the data a little bit more, whereas EPA is just a result of pure numbers. There's no massaging of things. There's no starting QB is out, so we have to downgrade this team. DVOA also heavily accounts for the projections they had, which can also be wrong. So there's like a lot of factors basically that go into DVOA that can make it wrong, even though it is still a great tool and whatever. I'm personally never going to use it again. It's for a lot of you out there, still a great tool. EPA though, like an SIS's way of chopping it up to. For DVOA, it's like you're looking at entire games. You're looking at, you know, not as much situational stuff. For EPA, I could see every time a guy's been pressured. I could see every time a guy's been pressured and threw the ball 20 yards downfield. I can really dig in on a granular level that I appreciate more. So I think there's just a lot more you can use EPA for. And Sports Info Solutions, like Data Package too, are really good. Look, I've never been a fan. I'm a stochastic guy. I was, you know, there from day one, but FTN just like a scumbag company, honestly. And, you know, And also, frankly, their deal that they made with Aaron inhibited my ability to get paid back the money I was owed by Football Outsiders. So double thumbs down for FTN. A few good guys there, though, like guys like Sam Chowdhury over there. I like there's a lot of guys like I like over there. But, you know, I think they know what the company is, too. The reason like they lose more people than anybody else in the industry is because they rip everybody off there. 1-2-4-2. See what we're going to do with our pick. I'm happy to, you know, I know this isn't lulls. I'm happy to give you guys the industry gossip I know. And I know that there's a lot of people at FTN that did not make anywhere near what they were promised coming in. But it's a different company now. They have like fired the old CEO who's a bit of a creepo from what I've heard. All right. 1-2-4-2 here. We do have Caleb. We do have a really nice running back pocket though with value going crazy. I think it would be irresponsible to take Caleb right here, because we have such good running back picks and we only have two running backs. So Tyjae at this point, a really nice value. Brian Robinson probably have a little bit more faith in him. Chase Brown, also a good pick. Trey Benson, also a good pick. Here we go. I get it. Nothing personal. You aren't wrong. I'll leave it at that. Oh, so Tyreek may know something more here, but there you go. Yeah, either way. Fucking creepos, man. Yeah, look, I wouldn't even share. Like, you guys know how I'm happy to do the gossips and do all that and talk about things and be honest about it. What I heard about the CEO, the former CEO, was like so bad that I like wouldn't even feel comfortable saying it. But accused of doing something not great at a convention with somebody of an opposite gender was what I heard. But yeah, that's rumors and innuendo. Who knows? Brian Robinson Jr. goes here. To me, happy to do that. Tyjae goes a little bit after that. Again, good run at running back. Wouldn't reach for Zach Moss over Chase Brown personally, but Javi Chavi is going to do Javi Chavi things. Assuming Jayden Daniels ends up in Washington, where do you think his BBM ADP lands? Probably doesn't move very much, I don't think. It should mean a lot for him. It should mean a lot for Terry McLaurin, but, you know, I think that that's certainly something that is a personal choice for me. I do think people are a little bit more down on Jayden Daniels. It seems like all the film guys, everybody's kind of catching up on Caleb Williams and going to land at the right spot. They're not just going to worry about him and his black fingernails or whatever. So I think, to be clear, the painted black fingernails, not the fact that he's a black man who has fingernails. I would hope nobody holds that against him. But yeah, I think that people are kind of coming along with that. Caleb, by the way, was able to force him back to me. You can make the case to push him down further. Because Chuba would be a nice pick here too, but I am going to take my QB2 here. Caleb's on the thumbnail. We're going his way. So, team so far, thin at wide receiver, especially by my standards, a 2-3-4-2. Jalen Hurts and Caleb Williams at QB. At running back, Bijan Robinson, DeAndre Swift, Brian Robinson, wide receiver, DJ Moore, Tank Dell, Amari Cooper, Christian Watson. At a tight end, we are pretty much done there with Kyle Pitts, David Njoku. Doing some things here that I do like doing in drafts more this year, by the way, where we do have the correlation for Cleveland without taking the QB. Obviously, you could take Deshaun Watson, and it's perfectly logical to take Deshaun Watson here. But for me, with QBs that I think have lower upside than guys I can also take, like a Jalen Hurts at a discount, like a Caleb Williams, I'm happy to not take those QBs this year because I think it was one of the biggest flaws in my portfolio. It put me on, you know, guys like Sam Howell, put me on guys like Jordan Love more than the field, but it also put me on guys like Kenny Pickett above the field. And I just don't want to do that this year. And I think you can get away. Like, if you know a guy's not going to have huge upside, you don't need to take that QB. I think really you could take his stack guys, but really like unless the offense is going to make a big leap upwards. And there was no reason to think Pittsburgh was going to make a big leap upwards besides just Pickett going into year two. So I'm trying to not make those bets as much. And to me, a bet on Deshaun making a big leap upwards is kind of a gross bet to make. I'd rather make the individual bets on Njoku and Cooper, and I'd rather make them in tandem. Huge scandal at my work lately. Every time I think it can't get better, it does, or worse. Well, hey, look. Scandals are everywhere. That's why, you know, I'm happy to have a remote first company for myself. You know, frankly, when I was at Barstool was the last job I was at where I was in an office full time. Like, it wasn't fun. Like, it was fun, you know, being in the fantasy factory parts of it, but it was also like stressful and like the performative nature of it. Obviously, with it, Barstool in particular, I was a lot. So I'm happy to work from home forever. I think you're more productive at home. And also, like, you have the ability to like be a normal human being and get stuff done and, yeah, do laundry. Cousins could have been good there too. Nice pocket for your team. Yeah, I would have been happy taking Cousins, but you know, Caleb's on the thumbnail. I've been thinking about Caleb all weekend. That is probably one of my flaws as a drafter, that in this particular draft, because I only had the bet on DJ Moore, probably didn't need to make the bet on Caleb. Could have made the bet on Kirk Cousins, but, you know, is what it is. A Hochberg here. Two very divergent QBs at the turn. Jaden Daniels and Aaron Rodgers. Really can't think of two guys more diametrically opposed. A fun team for Hochberg, though. A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, you know, iffy on that, but he is making a Jets bet. Malik Nabers, great talent there. Brian Thomas, Troy Franklin, all guys that we love here on Splash Play. So Hochberg, a guy often a Splash Play regular. Unsure if he's drafted with that in mind here, but doing a great job with it. Oh, very prominent member of the workplace, being involved in a male-on-male workplace relationship, and both males are married. Oh, okay. So, yeah, you know, look. Love is love, as we say here. That is some hot goss for sure. We don't know what Adam does, though, but, you know, go Dogs, right? Is it a Georgia workplace romance too? Because that'd make it even funnier. I know Adam, our resident dog fan here, of course, the Georgia Dogs, and would be funny to see that be the case in a Georgia-based offense. Just love talking football there, talking SEC football and cheating on her wives with another man in the office. But those are the kind of places that does happen. Tatzilla soaking up the clock here. We got to go on a run at receiver at some point, but I am actually happy to take Jerome Ford here. Jerome Ford, again, still undervalued to me. Deonta Foreman being in the mix there, going to take some goal line work away, but Ford is going to be, you know, the primary back, I would assume. He earned that last year until, obviously, Nick Chubb gets back in. But Nick Chubb's probably never going to be full Nick Chubb again. So Jerome Ford to pick 141 actually happened to me. Not a Georgia thing. Okay, fair enough. Just, I just want to imagine two SEC guys raw-dogging it and talking about the old ball coach retiring. Pat Freiermuth goes 143. To snatch catchers. Snatch catchers, another name that Underdog probably does not want to win big tournaments. FFB Holes, by the way, I feel like he's had some weirdo drafts, but now two in a row of a fairly normal draft for him. So kudos to him figuring it out. Whenever you see the name FFB Holes, you assume, hey, perhaps he's a troll drafter. And seems like he is not a troll drafter. So. Always glad to see not troll drafters here on Splash Play. Building some clean teams is always the goal. Supply closet. Hey, look, there's supply and demand for sure. Emphasis on demand. Am I right? Oh, the closet's no longer sterile. I mean, the closet's been wide open. So it's at least it's getting some fresh air in there for both those guys. 2442. We need receiver desperately. Darnell Mooney's getting paid so much fucking money that I think you can make the case to go up and get him as a, you know what, we're making this bet against Drake London. We're going to Darnell Mooney. It only makes the Kirk Cousins not drafting him look stupider in hindsight, but I got to get Mooney at some point. And when I am dead at wide receiver, that is the point to do it. How about his ETN drop? Actually hasn't been that bad. I mean, he went in the 40s here. I think his ADP is now naturally in the 40s. He's still at 36.1. I feel like I see him go in the 40s in every room. He should be in the 40s when you have your coach willingly saying and this early in the offseason that they don't want to give you the same level of work. They want Tank Bigsby to get work. You could end up in the same situation as last year where Bigsby just isn't good enough to keep that role. But like they're saying it again, knowing that. So I don't think that's a great sign for ATN. To me, ATN should be like in the late 40s, but I'm down on him. ATN's younger brother did have a DUI? DUI for him? The seam fucks. It's not bad for not having wide receiver early. I'll tell you that. Because I think we're making some nice correlation bets. And Mooney, as much as it sucks, I was going through Spot Track. Mooney got the second biggest free agent contract of wide receiver. Like it's blows my mind. I don't know what Atlanta saw besides, you know, fast guy go burr, basically. Like I don't know what they saw to earn that contract for him. Because he regressed really meaningfully this year, again, on a year where Chicago actually had guys showing spike week upside multiple times at multiple positions. Cole Kmet and DJ Moore, most notably, but, you know, like there was opportunity there, and Mooney was not a part of it at all. But that said, with that much contract and Kirk Cousins going to lead to some amount of a boost, Mooney at pick 148 here, happy to do it. Didn't Tank get a small work share taken by De'Ernest? It was, they rotated in De'Ernest, and then who was the other one they had? That wasn't, it wasn't Hasty this year. They had a fourth running back that I'm now blanking on. Here, let's fucking go to Jaguars. I hate not remembering these things. Jaguars depth chart. No, I guess they're rotating somebody else besides De'Ernest, though, but I don't remember who it was. But he's not on the roster now, whoever it is. Anyway, point being, like, they did the thing last year that they did the year before last as well, where it's like, we feed ATN when we have nobody else to feed, then somebody else earns some trust, and they go right back to not giving ATN. And I also personally, like, I think Jacksonville's going the wrong way this year. I think that they were going the wrong way last year. And Doug Peterson, I've mentioned a lot of times, just like, he's one of those coaches where he's going to make an immediate bump to your team when he gets there, especially going from that Urban Meyer, you know, chaotic situation. And then every year it just gets a little bit less effective, a little bit less effective. And I think that's what we're going to see this year, but we'll find out. Cousins elevates Atlanta receivers, but ultimately will be shocked if Cousins wins anybody at tourney week 17. I think he can win somebody at tourney in week 17, excuse me, through the pass catchers, but probably not his own upside though. I mean, he does have 30 fantasy point upside, so I wouldn't rule it out, but you know, if it hits, I think it's going to be a pretty chalky outcome, to be honest. So like to me, like, you know, the teams that I would say are like very public right now, Atlanta, one of them in most rooms, Baltimore is, where you do have Derrick Henry coming up a lot. The Eagles in particular, the Saquon part of that, very public, I think. Those are the ones that really stand out to me as like, if you're making bets that aren't the chalk and you're trying to like already plan ahead for those ones, like those are the lineups that I think have, you know, a lot of upside potential to be there in the finals, but also have a high likelihood of being like, you know, if Saquon, let's say, went nuts in week 16, like, or week 15 and week 16, you're probably going to see like 30% Saquon, because I think he's going to have a passable enough year with spike weeks in particular. Xavier Leggett still being here, I also like, would be okay with Jaleel McLaughlin, would be okay with Braylon Allen, and Deshaun Watson makes sense for this team, but you know, we're just trying to get some talent in at this point, and Leggett is definitely talent to me. Leggett going after ADP at this point. I know our guy Jeff T isn't here. He's back in Malaysia or whatever. One of the biggest Leggett stands besides me. Leggett should not be going this cheaply after the combine he had, after the athletic score he put up there. Leggett is one of the steals at the draft point, especially given that we're now seeing Roman Wilson and Pearsall pass him. I don't think that's correct. Hip drop tackle banned, what a joke. I don't think that's a joke. It's the only thing in football where there is a tangible increase in injury rate tied to it. So, I always err on the side. The NFL, some reports going around, the NFL is actually worried about offensive scoring, the long-term impact that might have on ratings. So they might want to, you know, try to tweak some things to make defense a little bit less effective. I get that's an issue. People love to see, like, people who are real football fans want to see defense. I'm happy to make it more like flag football, because you're going to decrease the injuries. You're going to also make it more fun to watch. You're going to make it more fun for fantasy, more fun for betting. I am perfectly happy for things like that. And the hip drop cost me, like, Mark Andrews that one game, what cost me him in the first quarter. I lost like five players in game to hip drop tackles last year. I am very happy to see them go. I get why it's like hard. I get why it's, you know, it's hard to bring down a big guy sometimes without hip dropping. And they are still allowing some, you know, hip drops to exist, but like, it can't be the ones where you're like going to break somebody's tibia just because it's a little bit easier to bring them down. 2-4-6-2 here. We could use some running backs. At this point, I think that Antonio Gibson is a better play in an ambiguous New England backfield than Roschon Johnson. Too much money going to DeAndre Swift. Obviously, you already have the bet on Swift anyway, so Roschon does not make sense for us there. And Antonio Gibson will be my running back five. Team so far, give it a read. Jalen Hurts, Caleb Williams, Bijan Robinson, DeAndre Swift, Brian Robinson Jr., the two B Robinsons, which nice to get both of them on the same team. Jerome Ford, Antonio Gibson, were reuniting last year's gangbusters Washington backfield, but only on this best ball team. Wide receiver, we got DJ Moore, Tank Dell, Mari Cooper, Christian Watson, Darnell Mooney, Xavier Leggett, trying to get some upside guys. And Leggett, to me, he's not like a veteran best ball kind of guy. He is somebody that should be able to get 7-8 targets in a game if he lands in the right situation. The bad situation would be he ends up Trey Palmer. So, you know, that's the other side of it where you see maybe some upside, but the guy's blocked. So, you know, hopefully he can land somewhere that's good. And a tight end, Kyle Pitts and David Njoku. I like to see him a lot. I think for me, not going heavy wide receiver early, I guess stuck this team pretty well. Logan Wilson, hip drop tackle champ, punching the air right now. Good. I hope so. Yet, if you can't bring a guy down without one particular tackle move, I don't know. I think that's, It's just like this. There's too much correlation to injuries, like that the NFL is actually back tested and researched that. We don't need to see it. Stupid for actual football. Okay. Look, whatever, man. A lot of things can be stupid for actual football, but, you know, ultimately the product being more fun, more enjoyable, like you're never going to see, you know, for the NFL, you'll still see good ratings, obviously. But if you have year after year, if we regress to like the Ravens defense of the early 2000s kind of situation where you're just winning games the ugliest way possible, it's visually unappealing. And also, you know, you're not seeing the betting and the fantasy production that's now so important to the sport. I really don't think that that's actually going to be Big Lenny. He goes, wondering where you're going with it. Big Lenny, building anticipation here. But that is a funny, that is a funny chat from our guy, Big Lenny. Who's that? Hopefully moving on from the CMC bit in 2024. Now that CMC has been anointed as a 101. Hey, look, I agree. Put flags on them. Put bells on them. I don't care. I'll be there with bells on if they put bells on these guys that you have to take off and that's how you tackle them. Make it like, you know, an old ancient, like isn't that like a thing they would do for like Kung Fu where it's like, oh, you have to move and like you're like pulling the bells down kind of thing. Like, fine. I'm happy with it. Johnny Smith at the pick 174, kind of interesting to see. Doesn't affect us in this draft, but interesting to see. 2562, I'm not out on Bucky Irving at this price tag. Really wish Bucky gave me anything to have hope with at the combine. He didn't. So, fortunately, that's where Bucky goes right now. But Bucky, analytically, playing in Oregon is the caveat there where Troy Franklin looks good playing at Oregon. Bo Nix looks good playing at Oregon. Bucky Irving looks very good playing at Oregon. But Bucky, I think it's fallen too far here. Best producer. Likes up, people. Yes, listen to Matthew here. Matthew knows better than most. Hit that like button. Of course, subscribe here. New drafts mostly every day, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. I hate that I'm going to miss at least tomorrow, if not tomorrow and Wednesday. But unfortunately, you know, sacrifices have to be made to make money for probably. So, but we will be back here doing drafts at the very latest on Thursday. And it's possible I do one from the hotel on Wednesday. But just depends on how the Wi-Fi looks. You'll still see hip drop tackles, just like you still see horse collar tackles to take the penalty to save giving up the TD. Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you do that, though, if you break the rule and then you injure somebody again, I think you're going to get fined pretty aggressively. Like, I don't know that we're talking Vontaze Burfict kind of fines, but you can't ignore that. So if you're like a repeat offender, if you do one, you're probably getting like a 15K fine or something. And they're going to go like, hey, man, don't fucking hip drop tackle. But if you like hurt people and you're doing, they see you doing hip drops, I think that's, it's going to be a tough scene for somebody out there. Probably a safety, probably a very stubborn safety out there. It's going to be the one who won't give it up. Maybe a linebacker. I'd place odds. If I were setting the markets on that, I'd place like pretty close to minus money on a safety being the first one to complain. But a linebacker would be high up there too. There's guys who don't want to get dragged by the Mark Andrews of the world for 10 yards. Those are the guys who are going to complain the most. Can't go high, can't go low. Time to grab the dick and twist it. A life lesson as well as a potential football tackling strategy. Look, we have a book that I read with Luca called Football with Dad. I was going to take Estimate too. I almost got Bucky and Estimate in one draft. Could have been nice. All right, let me make a pick here. All right, we've got the bet on Houston without Stroud. Again, I am just a guy that has taken micro stacks left and right. Noah Brown, come on down. We have a book so like that I read every night for Luca called Football with Dad. It's just like one of those books that you search football kids book. If you're a dad that wants to have a book to read with your kid, it's going to be one of the first one that comes up. And they talk about like, you know, tackling the safe way, like eyes on the runner, chin up. You know, for the NFL, it's a little bit different, but there has still been a way that you're supposed to tackle that we've been taught in everything. I remember watching the videos in high school when I was on the football team, and it's like they show you the video of like the spine compressing when you tackle like this. So, you know, it's just, I feel like if you can't tackle in the normal way and bring a guy down, you should be missing that tackle. Like it should be an avoided tackle. It should be a missed tackle. So I don't know. I'm okay with it. But of course I love offenses. That's why the show is Splash Play. It's not called, hey, sick defense. That wouldn't be a fun best ball fantasy football show. Hey, great tackle. That's not the show. It's Splash Play. We want the big plays. We want Tank Bigsby going at pick 200. Nobody can bring this guy down now. None of the hip drop tackle's gone. That was the biggest issue for Tank. It wasn't balls bouncing off his chest and turning into pick sixes. It was, in fact, that guys were too easy to bring him down because of hip drop tackles. That should be the rule, honestly, is that or the way that we do touting of football players. Like, yeah, you know, with these rules changes, there's so many Tank Bigsby can't go off next year. It's what was really holding him back. The people love dick twisting. Okay. Just so know how a 195-pound DB is supposed to tackle 250-pound tight end, you can still go with the legs. Like, you still can go low. It's just, you know, you're not going at the kneecaps. There's still ways to do it, man. I don't know. I think we have to stop giving these guys outs to do things that, especially, you know, when they do have a high injury rate. But I get it. Giving a new meaning to HGTV. There we go. I've not, you know, look, I haven't watched a lot of the real HGTV in a while, but I used to love House Hunters. Big fan of that show. Love seeing how do these guys have, I'm doing now just trite stand-up bits, but it's, you know, we're in the 18th round here. How do these two have 500K to buy a house? Sometimes you have to ask yourself. Sometimes the ones that have like 2 million, it's like, oh, we fucking know you. Oh, daddy here, you're a fucking fake artist. And of course you got money from your parents to do it. But sometimes the ones where it's like, oh, we're buying a $500,000 8-bedroom house in West Virginia. Those ones are equally as baffling. It's like, what are you two doing? Are you skinning gators? I don't know. You surprised how much 195-pound man running 12 miles per hour? I mean, probably more like 15. If he's coming downhill, you're probably getting to 15 to 20 range. I agree. Wife's an Etsy artist. Yeah, there we go. Hopefully not your wife. I would hope that, honestly, that's probably can be lucrative if you know how to like do it well. I just imagine a lot of people that are doing Etsy are probably not doing it well and like SEOing and all that. Because the things that you know, you're going to crush on Etsy with, it's like Bluey gift. Like if you dominate the SEO for that, you're probably going to make a lot of money. Husband's a DFS out. Some of them make money. All right, next pick coming up here. Let's see what we can do. We can correlate Kenneth Gainwell with Jalen Hurts. That'd be fun. 2672. Really nothing that appealing here. Can make another bet in Atlanta with Rondale, and frankly, I'm okay with it. I think Rondale, a little bit underappreciated ADP-wise for a guy. He's probably going to play in a lot of three wide receiver sets, probably also get schemed some targets. They're going to have touchdown equity. So Rondale Moore at pick 213 will be my guy to increase our Atlanta bet. Do we have any shares of Johnny Wilson? I have some shares, probably not as much. I'm still worried about the size. That was something where last year thought that Darnell Washington graded out well enough. Obviously had the sick combine as well. That ends up going nowhere of use really because he's just kind of too big. And also he went to Pittsburgh, which is not a great situation for anybody really. So I don't know if that's fair, but I think for Johnny Wilson being 6'7", it is a little bit hard to anticipate him being there, but he was a better receiver than Keon Coleman in terms of the EPA metrics I was talking about and gave my case for why they're so important to me earlier in the video. So I should take more Johnny Wilson, but I've not taken a ton. I imagine I'll be above the field because he's not getting drafted in most rooms, but it's just like being 6'7" is hard. The substitute teacher and my budget's $7 million. Somewhere out there, substitute teachers are well paid. You got to assume. Thankfully, the actual wife is an anesthesia tech. If you've seen one of those damn network hospital shows, you know how scandalous those cesspools can be. I mean, look, we heard about what's happening in Adams Hospital earlier. So it seems like there's a lot of danger going on in hospitals that I'm glad we don't know a part of. Me and the wife both work from home, which the downside is I have to hear like way too much about her job. But her job is in creative strategy for like TV networks and streamers. So, at least it's an interesting one, I guess. 2682 here. Don't need QBs, don't need tight ends. So we're just kind of vibing at this point. I mean, honestly, we did go a little bit thin at receivers. So maybe I should just kind of keep hammering the position, I guess. Is Greg Dortch really a play worth making? I'm not really sold on that. Kind of prefer reaching for Brendan Rice. Brendan Rice, who I do fall in love with every single time that I watch Caleb Williams throw, and you see Brendan Rice getting wide open downfield, and it doesn't make sense how a guy who is not an RAS kind of burner guy, he's not that, but he definitely finds his ways to get open. Team so far, we got Jalen Hurts, Caleb Williams, no correlation yet with our guy, Jalen Hurts. At running back, Bijan Robinson, DeAndre Swift, Brian Robinson Jr., Jerome Ford, Antonio Gibson, Bucky Irving. Obviously, Bijan got to carry a lot of water here. Do you like the RB room besides that? Maybe could have added one more RB in between Ford and Gibson. That would have felt a little bit better, but we did what we did. Receiver, I think this room is maybe a little bit too high capital, maybe too many draft picks, but I like the kind of split here with high early draft capital guys, DJ Moore, Tank Dell, Amari Cooper, Christian Watson. And then we saved the position for a while, went to Darnell Mooney, Xavier Leggett, Noah Brown, Rondale Moore, Brendan Rice. Just trying to target upside guys and hopefully offenses that are going to score a lot of points. And then we have Kyle Pitts and David Njoku at tight end. I'm happy with the team. Maybe not as much direct stat correlation as I would normally get, but there is correlation. Justin Herzig loves Dortch, but I think he's just too disciplined and boring to have a sexier take. Yeah, that is one of the flaws of Herzig's content, I think, is that he is very much like the, this guy at this price point is a good play, and that's sort of the level of, understanding. But that's ultimately, you learn a lot from watching him, because that's why he does so well, is like because he goes in and he's just going to soak up value and get guys who are a little bit mispriced for where they're going to move and where things are going to reflect in May and June and January and June and July, rather. I think that for him, I wish I had a little more Herzig in me. That said, I do think it, maybe makes the content a little bit more boring, to be totally candid about it. But he's not a friend of mine, so I can be honest about it. Like the team, thank you. I think I've been drafting like really good teams on stream lately. I feel like I've gotten the pockets managed pretty well. Obviously doing it every day here, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m., you build up some muscle memory a little bit more. But I think I keep finding clean teams with, some different angles. I feel like my biggest crutches right now are, I've bled out some of them where I'm not taking Troy Franklin in every draft. Or trying to get him in every draft. I'm not taking the same rookies in every draft. I am leaning on Chicago a little bit heavy right now. I've been leaning on Terry McLaurin and that bet on Washington, improving the QB situation there, and leaning on that a little bit too much. I think those are my two blind spots that obviously are not blind because I'm aware of them. You think the new kickoff rules will benefit the returners? They're taking the UFL or the XFL / UFL rules, right? Probably doesn't matter that much. I guess it makes it more live for touchdowns, but like something that happens so infrequently, you shouldn't really even be baking into anything you'd project. So I wouldn't worry about it personally, but it can make, your guys that are returners have a little bit more value because they might luck box one more kickoff return in the season than they would have normally, but I don't think it's going to be like a huge jump or anything. It's really just going to make it a little bit easier for guys to not get hurt, I think is the main thing. Assuming it's the same. I haven't read the report yet, but assuming it's the same as the UFL, it's just like it basically limits the concussive contact of the guys who are actually on the line, basically. So that's like the main benefit. But obviously you can get more returns too. Being so wide receiver heavy at the start, you were underweight on the James Cooks, Rashad Whites. I am under on those guys. They kind of, to me, this might not be fair. Both guys that you mentioned there, I think, are a little bit Ramondre Stevenson-y last year, where there are some guys I'm happy to get in the 80s, 90s, 100s, and then when they go the next year into the 20s and the 30s, I don't quite want to be there. I think those guys fit that criteria for me, but could be wrong because like Joe Brady definitely did favor Cooks, James Cook rather, but Rashad White, the usage went the wrong way, and I know that firsthand because I was so heavily invested in Rashad White last year. 2692, do we go for the 10th receiver here? We could take a 7th running back. That might make the most sense. And frankly, Justice Hill is a nice pick to flesh out a weak wide receiver, a weak running back room. I'm going to go Justice Hill. Final pick here, a 2792 will be the build. I just don't normally like getting the 10 receivers, especially given that I did take enough early guys. So Jalen Hurts, Caleb Williams at QB, and running back Bijan Robinson, DeAndre Swift. We have our biggest bets on Atlanta and Chicago on this team. Brian Robinson, Jerome Ford, Antonio Gibson, Bucky Irving, and Justice Hill. Justice Hill going to be the only back alongside Derrick Henry to start the year. At a certain point, Keaton Mitchell will come back in. DJ Moore, Tank Dell, Amari Cooper, Christian Watson, my four receivers in the top 100, not as much as I'm usually taking. Darnell Mooney, Xavier Leggett, Noah Brown, Rondale Moore, and Brendan Rice, some guys that we made late bets on that I feel pretty good about. And Kyle Pitts and David Njoku. I am happy with this team. Feel pretty good about that. It's going to stack Watson with Love at 94. I was cruelly sniped. Please console me. I'm sorry to hear that. I almost took Love in this draft too, but somebody took him. And did they ever correlate Love? let me just see if that guy did end up correlating love or not. Oh, come on. Fetch the draft. What's in the draft? This is me doing my seven impression. Also, one thing I did watch over the weekend was forced to watch as a make good for the wife. Watch the Taylor Swift Eras Tour entire thing. I know we have some Swiftie fans in the crowd. Too fucking long at 3 hours, but a couple bangers. The song Enchanted, did not ever like that song. Did not hear that very much in the house. Definitely a good song. That's which is what you want to hear for your fantasy football host. The guy who took Jordan Love did not get any Packers with it. So he got the discount on Jordan Love, no correlation. But I suppose I did the same thing with Jalen Hurts, so who am I to judge? There we go, guys. That's our last draft here. No draft tomorrow coming up. Could be one on Wednesday, so stay tuned here. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell as well so you know when we go live. If I don't get a draft off tomorrow or Wednesday, I will just do three drafts on Thursday to make up for it. So that is what we're going to do here to keep on pace with the drafts we're going to hit here on Splash Play. But going to Miami, so that's unfortunately going to be the way it has to go. Probably, if you want to support us, show some love before I do go to Miami, give us a few more numbers to make it look pretty. Go to probably.com/subscribe. Use the promo code SPLASH on there. Get half off your first month or your first year even. That means all of our data for under $100 for a year. You can also get a 7-day free trial on the App Store, which I will link in the pinned comments down below, but support it. The best data in the world, and especially for college basketball. If you're placing bets today, I would get on probably like immediately because the lines are going to get more efficient as the week goes on. It's like NFL and college basketball right now, where because you have 5 days of markets to sharpen up before the games go off again, you are going to see those lines be really tough come Thursday and Friday. But over the weekend, our guy Robert Griffin III had like killed an NCAA this weekend. The weekend bets where you have those lines are a little bit softer. You're getting the same thing right now for Thursdays and Fridays games. So check it out if you can. Stochastic, another $4.50 max today. 50K to first again. I know why they dropped the prize pool, but still going on. Stochastic's data and tools are a great way to make good lines for those. Check it out for yourself. I'm probably not playing tonight, full disclosure, but too many games. And frankly, I need to get packed. I need to do all the shit I have to do. But check it out for yourself. And I'll be back in the NBA streets probably on Friday. And of course, all these fine folks have helped me put on the show. You too can do that by hitting the join button down below. $4.99 a month gets you access to both the premium Discord, which you can join, connect your YouTube channel to your Discord, see the details in the description, or, you know, just whatever, support the channel, get some custom emojis, VIP badges, team reviews for me as well. And I think we have to give this sheet an update now. Some memberships closing out, so hit the join button, show some love if you can. Follow me at Chris Spags, follow the show at Splash Play Pod. I'll be back later in the week with a draft, so I'll see you guys then. Enjoy your days. Pray for me in Miami. Let's come back with some money for Profly, please, for the love of God. I'll see you guys again soon. Enjoy your days. Good luck. Bye.